Blog Talk Radio.
Thrilling Thursday it is. You got it. The 4th of August, and we're going into our show, Madison on 9, with the Clark sisters saying, you know what? I expect my miracle today because God is going to make a way out of no way. To you across the covenantal divide, listening radio land, get a hold on your miracle. Believe, receive, and achieve it because God will perform today. You got your host with the most from Tulsi Esquire and the instructions of Motor City Maharani saying, look up and be blessed. And the light of God shall shine upon my path. You heard it by way of musical presentation. You heard Dorinda, you heard Denise, you heard Elvertina, and you heard Karen the Clark sister saying, I expect a miracle every day. God will make a way out of no way. And trust me to tell you, I am a testimony, not anything written, scripted, or phony, that God will. God can, and God shall make a way for you. Right when you think that the very last hour has come and you've given out, you've given up hope, oh, just look up and know that your redemption draws nigh. This is an acceptable time, an acceptable day of the Lord where the ground is fervent. That means it's producing, it's birthing the very miracles of God. Whether that miracle that many of us are standing in need of is a financial breakthrough, a financial windfall, God got it, and God will perform it on this day, today. That's right. Whether it's physical healing in your body that needs to take place, the ground is hot, God will perform it today. whether it's peace of mind, peace in your home, peace on your job, divine favor, believe and receive it. God will perform it today. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. And yes, he has. Because you know what? God is not slack concerning his promises. And you know what? He told us to decree it. Decree it. Speak it. Have confidence in it. We said that we have confidence in whatever the newscaster tells us about the weather, about the events of the world, but when it comes to the word of God, we have a problem believing that. When it comes to the promises of God, we become skeptics. But nevertheless, we base our confidence upon man-made statements. We need to reverse the polarity of our belief system and the way we think, because according to how you think, and so shall you be. And I'm thinking, I'm speaking victory. I'm speaking divine perfect health. I'm thinking and I'm speaking divine prosperity. I'm speaking peace. I'm thinking and I'm speaking salvation. I'm thinking and I'm speaking miracles, a multiplicity of miracles. Elevate your mind. Cleanse yourself from what this world has imputed into you, saying that you've got to have the right name. You've got to live in the right zip code. You have to have the right social affiliation. You have to have the right connection. You have to have the right money. You got to have the right look. Dismiss all of that. God is taking the simple things, listen to me, and confounded the wise. Get out of self and get into God, and you will receive your miracle or your miracles if you stand in need. That's right. And when God performs the miracles in us, in our lives, in our finances, in our situation, let us be thankful. Thankful in secret and thankful in public. That's right. To acknowledge that it was the Lord that prospered me. It was the Lord that gave me favor. It is the Lord that exalted me. It's the Lord that healed me. Always give thanks unto the Lord. Well, it's a good thing to give thanks unto God, because you know why? When you acknowledge God and his hand moving on your behalf, God keeps on doing great things, greater things than you ever anticipated, than you ever awaited when you do these things. And let me tell you something. So many people would have been delivered right on this very day had they lived in that manner and thought in that perspective. But they keep on. They keep on seeking after the world. And when you seek after the world, all you're going to find out is what? All that's in the world is the love of what? The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And the more that you seek after gratification of the world, that's the worse your life is going to become. So get out of self and get into God and let God be the Lord of your life. And when God is the Lord of your life, you will live a glorious and victorious existence. God will continue to show you his greatness and his hand, because he's in command. And if it had not been for the Lord on our side, you know what? Where would we be? We won't know where we would be, and even if we would be on the temporal plane of existence. But let me tell you something. Miss Chessie Hill says it even more. He keeps doing great things for me. And just let's raise our hands and give worship into the Lord through the power of music. Oh, yes. Yes. Thank you. Lord, yes, because he's worthy of honor. He's worthy of glory and praise.
Let him be God in our lives.
That's right. And when you do, God will. He will do that which is impossible. Just can't stop praising his name. You know what? I feel that strong sense to just praise and just give it God the acknowledgement that he so well deserves. And you join me with a classic. We're going classic gospel. Can't stop praising his name. Keith Pringle and the Pentecostal Community Choir. Give him the praise anyway. Thank you. praising his name. And I just love that song, a classic from Keith Pringle in the Pentecostal Community Choir, saying, if you confess the Lord, call him up. If you confess the Lord, call him up. He said, now if you believe in the Father, for God so loved the world, the Heavenly Father, that he gave his only begotten Son. He said, and you believe in the Son and the Holy Ghost, and ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He said, call him up. Then delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Haven't I been preaching that for the last few weeks? Haven't you heard that scripture and that message being brought to you, ringing in your soul over and over again? He said, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And I love this part, that even though sometimes you fall, call him up and tell him what you want. Oh, he said, I just can't stop praising his name, Jesus. For God has given him a name above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. So those joy bells are indeed ringing in our souls, and we've heard musical praise unto God. That's right, on this morning. We've heard about expecting a miracle because he keeps doing great things for me and for you. Then we heard the last selection, just can't stop praising his name. Why? Because we received our miracle. We acknowledge he keeps doing great things for us, and because of it, we can't stop praising his name. And then Psalms 24 consummates the very magnificence of our God. What a mighty God we serve this morning. For angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. And amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's right. If you know the Lord's been good to you, as he's made a way for you, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. God is able. He will do exceedingly and abundantly above all we're able to ask and even think. Praise your name this morning, Lord, for the opportunity to bring forth the word, the power of encouragement, and transformational, miraculous provisions to your listeners this morning. I'm asking that you bless all that is spoken, all that is said, and all that is done, and be to the magnificence, to the glory of you, O Father God. And my blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, we thank you for the seal of redemption, the Holy Spirit, that miracles come expeditiously, that your people have those testimonies where there were bowed down heads, men have now been encouraged, and others will look and say that there is lifting up. And my blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, Lord, we thank you. Amen. We're going to continue on with our teaching, which is what? Increase your what? Change your attitude to increase your latitude. That's right. Because oftentimes we become our own worst enemies. We become our own provisional hindrances because of our attitudes. Some of us have some, be honest with you, jacked up attitudes because we're looking at the world, what the world has, what the world is doing, how they're containing themselves, how they're conducting themselves, and we've taken our eyes off of Christ, which is Jesus Christ. So through this teaching, I pray that you will be empowered to change your attitude so that your latitude will be increased and that your altitude will elevate. That's right. They all go cohesively and collaboratively together. So let us go to the 11th verse. As we left off, we talked about the 10th verse, but the 11th verse I wanted to go more in depth with you because many have said that the 10th verse is almost atypical to the 11th verse. But as I indicated to you previously, the 11th verse is talking about those who stand out in the way of leadership as true laymen and laywomen of the gospel, or who represents the kingdom of God on a more extensive level. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. What our Messiah is saying is that you're blessed. You've been picked out to be picked on because why? You're different from those who you take accompaniment with. Your words are different. Your mannerism is different. Your projections are different. Your ambitions are different. You stick out like a sore thumb. And when others hear you speak, they think that you're speaking as a way of trying to talk them down or to ascertain your superiority over them, or think that you believe yourself higher than them. And oftentimes people will revile that which is pure because they can't find anything conscientiously so wrong with you. So they will try to play the blame game, try to bring up things that people have said about you. This is an act of reviling, trying to talk down and walk down your image, trying to bring down that which God has exalted you upon. And he says, when these things happen, don't get angry. Don't get upset. Don't confront them. Don't get on their level. Remain elevated. Remain persistent. Be steadfast. Be immovable. Always abounding in the word and the truth, because this is where you're going to destroy and crush the powers of darkness through the authoritative measure of the name of Jesus, through the power of the redemption blood, which gives us all rights and authority to the kingdom of heaven, and through the washing of the baptismal water. That's why that made us whiter than snow. That's right. So we have all of these treasures in our earthen vessel. And don't, and another thing, with this scripture, I speak to laymen and those who are out on the mission field publicly doing the works of the Lord. Some of you are publicly doing the works of the Lord in your family. Don't take your pearls, as our Messiah instructed the disciples. They were disciples before they became apostles. They were promoted. They started off as councilmen. They became commissioners. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't give God's good gifts to those who are not worthy, who will not receive you. He said, you go into a place and they don't receive the truth. They won't accept the knowledge of God and the presence of his anointing invested within you. He says, don't get angry. He says, shake the dust off your feet. That means clean yourself. Remove yourself. Dignify. Respect. In a manner that exudes class and dignity. He said, when you shake your feet, the dust from underneath them, use it as a testimony against them, saying, you know what? Whatever happens in this establishment, whatever happens in this place, God cannot hold me accountable because I came here representing to speak the word, and you refuse the word. You refuse the word of knowledge. And so, therefore, my hands are clean. And you heard what the psalmist said in Psalm 24, he that hath a clean hand. That's how your hands stay clean. You didn't pick up an evil device to try to rectify yourself. And a pure heart. That means, you know what, my heart is still going to remain in the right place. And that's another thing. A lot of Christians have heart trouble. I'm not talking about natural heart trouble, spiritual heart trouble. They allow the mistreatment, the miscalculations of behaviors that were impeded upon them by others who profess to be Christians to cause them to become hard-hearted. Don't let your heart become hard, because if you do, you're going to miss the blessings of God flowing into your life. So what we have to do, we have to maintain our dignity, our pride, and just walk away and say, Lord, I did what you said do. They wouldn't receive it as such. God will still reward you, and they will pay, I mean, a high toll for their inappropriate actions. Because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. We don't have to go around paying anybody back because they didn't treat us right in the ministry. They didn't regard what thus saith the Lord through us, in us, and with us. We don't have to rectify anything because God has others that are open-hearted and will receive the gifts of God that are within you. And many of you have been hindered because of those experiences. This word is speaking to you. Shake the dust off your feet. So you had a bad experience in a congregation. So you had a bad experience in a ministry. So you had a bad experience with a certain set of people. Let it go. Let it flow. Change your attitude to increase your latitude. Let it be an experience that you can teach, that you can preach to others so that if they experience the same occurrences, that they'll know what to do. That's right. So use it as a testimony. Rejoice, the 12th verse, rejoice, and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Again, I hope that you all are reading along with me the chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, and we just read the 12th verse. What is our Messiah saying? Be glad. When you rejoice, you're glad. Your attitude is going to express a spirit of thanksgiving, a spirit of praise, a positive reflection. You're going to be just elated of the fact that God showed you up and he showed you off. Now you can show out. That's right, because you were obedient to his command. So you rejoice. Don't be angry. Talk about people. I can't stand them. No. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and I will repay. He said, and be exceedingly glad. He didn't say just be glad. When you're glad, you're just beyond happy. You're just elated. You know, you might cut a couple of steps. You might dance. You might even twirl your fingers. But when you're exceedingly glad, you can't even express the joy that just keeps echoing inside of you. See, joy is continual. It's an overflow. That's right. And happiness is based upon condition. Gladness is based upon be knowing that he who sits high and looks low is in command and in control. He says, so be extremely glad, for great is your reward in heaven. That means that God, he that, you know, you've done your deeds, even though you've done it secretly, kept them on a low scale, he that seeth you, he's going to reward you openly. Great is your reward in heaven. No, we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to be rewarded. We're going to receive the grandiose award in heaven, those jewels in our crown, and that white robe. But here on the earth, God is going to do some great things in your life. You might have been praying about your debt situation, saying, I can't get off or going under. Next thing you know, you start getting correspondence in the mail that they remove certain debts from you and that you don't have to pay nearly as much, may not even have to pay at all. You go to that mailbox and you think the correspondence is nothing, you're about to throw it away, and you look and say, this is some other letter they want to tell me about my job, and then lo and behold, there's a check there. Or you go to just make an inquisition about your amount on your debit card, and next thing you call in, where's this money come from? That's God's favor, the pounds of heaven translating to you on earth. This is your reward for good service. You don't get rewarded for sitting down and doing nothing. You're rewarded based upon your works. That's right. You've done something to be rewarded. Now, an award is something that is given to you based upon certain merits, but reward, you worked diligently for that particular type of enunciation. So he said, you know what? And so they persecuted the prophets that were before you. Don't you think the prophets got mocked? People said they were crazy and whatever have you, but they knew that there was a much higher reason for their existence, and the pronunciation of their gift came from God, and that prophecy, this is another thing you must understand. When I start going into prophetical teachings, prophecies are conditional to time, place, relevance, and location. Place and location is different. A place may be in the palace. Location may be in a certain country. But prophecies are conditional. And when the Spirit of God moves upon us to prophesy, it is for a particular reason at a particular season. Well, you know, ministering the word of God and preaching, it's perpetual and continual. Sometimes the power of God translates us to just teach. Sometimes the power of God translates us to proclaim that teaching. That's right. And sometimes the Spirit of God moves upon us to prophesy, to speak things that perhaps were spoken by the previous association, but sometimes at a different level and a different degree of placement. Oh, wow, this is just such an anointed area here as we're going in, that we're before you. But 13th verse says, ye are the salt of the earth. What is that? You are the essence of this society. People may not acknowledge you name by name. People may not even, you know, extol your presence. You may not have the highest level of recognition within your intermediate social circle or your association. But you say it, I am the salt of the earth. That means you're the source of God's presence amongst the heathen. You are the source of God's presence amongst those who profess to be believers, but then you will look at their actions, you will look at their attitude and wonder if the polarity of their attitude has been reversed as a way of reflecting good Christian ethics and good Christian morals. You will wonder that. But you are the essence of this society. But if the salt has lost its savor, if you lose your essence, you lose your focus, you lose your ability to remain spiritually minded, because remember, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and is peace. Wherewith shall it be salted? So if your light goes out and you become unfocused, you start acting like the people around you, becoming disassociated, disenfranchised, disemboweled, uncaring, unorthodox, immoral, well then, how are they going to see the light of Christ? How are they going to know that his existence is relevant to this generation? So that means that we have to change our attitude. We have to become separate and unequal to them, because we can't be equally yoked with unbelievers. We can't. We can't compromise that, because there is no fellowship between Christ and Belial, between God and Satan. There's no connectivity factor. So we have to remain abstinent of that image. It is good thenceforth for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. That means that when you compromise the greatness of God within your life, in your being, you compromise the calling of God within your life, then you become settled-minded. You can get along with people so people will like you and want you in their company. The salt has lost its savor, become powerless. You know, and you leave salt out, and you know, salt doesn't spoil. It's something about when the air hits salt, it is not fervent. It doesn't have the same propensity, the same, you know, aromatic display. It doesn't have the same taste as it does salt that has not been exposed to the air. So therefore, you're not going to be nearly as effective in your life. Your life will become stagnant when you allow this world to dictate to you how to live, when you try to please other people. So then you'll be trodden under the foot of men, and you'll be subject to the same miscalculations, the same demerits as those people who you're in a company with, because they'll be friends with you today and through with you tomorrow. Raise you up today, knock you down tomorrow. But we'll see, I've learned that when God raises you up, when he elevates you, no man can take you down despite how they may feel about you. The 14th verse. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Didn't the Lord tell us, let our light so shine before men that they should see our good works and glorify the Father in heaven? This is what we must do. Even sometimes when we're not feeling emotionally in the way of worship and of praise, it's not about emotions. Emotions can be very deceptive. We walk by faith, and we don't walk by sight. We walk by what we don't see, not what we perceive that we see or think that we see. We don't go by the elementation of following signs and wonders. No, the Lord told us signs and wonders will follow up. And when you follow God and you desire his righteousness, blessings will chase you down. Miracles will locate you. That's right, divine breakthroughs will seek you out because you're walking in the obedience of the light of God and his empowering knowledge. Neither do men, the 15th verse, light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all they that are in the house. What is our Messiah saying? It will make no sense to turn around and light a candle if the whole house is dark and there's a power outage. Many of us have had power outages. We haven't had one. We're going to probably experience one within the next few months or so as the weather begins to change patterns and things of that nature, depending on the geographical specificity of where you live, whether it's in the continental U.S. thing or somewhere else around the world, is subjugated to various turbulence, such as hurricanes and tornadoes and things of that measure, perhaps snow, heavy degrees of snow, whatsoever have you. Well, nevertheless, the point that is being stated here, that you would not take a candle and light it and then put it in a dark room and then go in the other room where it's dark. Because why? The candle serves no purpose. That's right. Now, in that dark room is lit, but you're not sitting in that dark room. You're sitting in another room and saying, I'm going to get light from this candle, and it's pushed way back in a vehement corner. No. The purpose of a candle is to provide warmth and to provide a way of light. Why do you need light? So you can see. You can identify your steps. You can retrieve certain things that you need. So he says, it is not necessary to light a candle, then hide it. You have the light so that you can illuminate the environment around you, so that you can enlighten others, you can strengthen others, you can edify others, and that you can exalt the kingdom of God at the same time, so that the kingdom of God will exalt you in due time. So it's set upon a hill, it can't be hid. Neither do men light a candle. That's right. That's just what we're saying. You let that light shine. Your light shine so bright, it will remove and repel darkness. People that don't mean any good and are evil and of unconscientious behavior, they will want to run away from you. They will do the Michael Jackson and beat it because your light is so bright. It brings in virtue. It brings in praise. It brings in love. It brings in peace. It brings in all the benevolent fruits of the Spirit, and you'll just branch up like a cedar of Lebanon. And this is what God has so ordained for us. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's not about lighting up so you can see me, but you can see the love of God that abides within me. Listen, don't get sad, get glad. We're going to come back tomorrow, and we're going to continue on and pick up where we left off in praising God and giving him the acknowledgement, because he wants us to change our attitude so that we can increase our latitude. You got your host with the most from coast to coast, the Esquire, Abby A. Self Knows, your Motor City Maharani Saint, and all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We thank God for you, and we thank God with you. And finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, for God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we're able to ask and even think. We see you on tomorrow. Oh, yeah.